Welcome to The Last Trump, a radio show on end times prophecy. We encourage you to get your Bibles out and go to the scriptures with us as we look at the biblical truths found within the Bible that are pointing us to the soon coming of Jesus Christ. And now, live from the Revolution Studios on Grand Island, New York, here's your host, Mike Chory.
Well, welcome tonight to The Last Trump. I am your host, Mike Chory, and you're listening to a broadcast of Joshua Revolution, and this is a study on end times. We're glad to have every one of you there, wherever you may be listening to this broadcast from, and here tonight to help me break it down tonight on Bible Prophecy is my co-host, Kurt Space from Central Pennsylvania. Kirk, how you doing tonight?
Well, I'm good, brother. It's good to be here back in the seat of eschatology, our favorite subject, right?
The study of end times, and we sure have a lot to study and a lot to look at. We are tonight, I'm sure as many of you, again, sobered by what happened in the state of Texas. Now, as we record this, we are over 100 people that have died, Kirk, in those floods, and there are still many people missing. I think the last time I heard, 170 people are still missing. So this death count could go up and up. It could go as high as the high 200s. Every life matters to God, and some of the lives that have been taken, of course, are children, youth that were at the camp there, the summer camp. And that flood that came over Texas came out of nowhere. They didn't have time. By the time the warnings were even in place, they were already getting pummeled with rain. And it was rain like, Kirk, we've not seen. I mean, they're calling this like, is it 1 in 100 years or even more than that, this storm?
Yeah, 1 in 1,000 years, they're saying. You know, it's nothing about this incident that happened in Texas is normal, right? They said the river, I forget the name of the river that ran through there, but it merged with another river. And at the convergence, the river raised over 30 feet in 40 minutes. And now that there's videos coming out now all over social media of helicopter footage of seeing, and it literally looks like, say there's an ocean above us. It looked like a door opened and it just all fell out. Like, I've never seen anything like it in my life, and the lightning around it. And, you know, we pray for the people that have been affected by this. This is terrible. You know, in the Christian girls camp, they're still finding people. You know, the death toll is still climbing, you know. And when something like this happens, unfortunately, they, you know, it takes a while to get everybody accounted for. And some they never do because they go downriver. They just never turn up. But, you know, and then the very next day, or I think it was the second day after that, the same thing happened again in New Mexico. And they said that river raised 20 feet in 30 minutes.
And it's unheard of.
It's unheard of. Like, there's obviously a supernatural aspect to this, folks. We've been covering it. We're showing how God is in control of the weather. He's sovereign. These things, I believe, are a kind of judgment on this nation.
Yeah, and let me explain that for people at home. I mean, the Bible teaches us everything that happens in this earth, God either allows it or he causes it. He is sovereign. And, you know, we see storms in the times of Jesus when he was in the boat on the Galilee, and he rebuked the wind, he rebuked the storm, and it ceased. If God allows a storm or allows latitude for the enemy of mankind to take advantage, you better know he's going to take it. And what happens when a people, a country, a nation is not operating correctly before God, that makes you susceptible for judgment. I'll give you one case in point, and we could give you many tonight, but we're here tonight to connect dots and to call people back to Jesus, back to the cross, back to the Father God. But if you go over in your Bible to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, there is an interesting verse there. And most of you know 2 Chronicles 7:14, or maybe you've heard of it before. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear, this is God speaking, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. I heard a preacher one time say that is the purest probably remedy that God ever gave man for the problem, and the formula for revival. And God's not into formulas, but that is the instruction that God was giving at that time for what? How to heal your land. But if you read 2 Chronicles 7:13, it says here that if the Lord was to shut up the heaven and there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send the pestilence among my people, then if my people who are called my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. This is what, Kirk, I believe God, he is right now doing in America. He is trying to bring the church first and foremost back to the cross to deal with the sins of our nation, which begins with me and you, friend. Jeremiah, all the prophets, Daniel, Ezekiel, they didn't say, oh, their sin. You know, they didn't say, oh, it's the Democrat sin or the Republican sin. They prayed on behalf of the nation. We have sinned. So if we are pointing our finger at people, we've got three pointing back at us. There is a problem in this country, obviously. We see the storms that are so unusual, historic. This storm over Texas, it was not usual. It was unusual. And why? What is happening right now in America? We are starting to see the birth pangs. We're starting to see the judgment for sin that has gone on so far in this nation. And the hope is that America's churches will get this and will repent and begin to call people back to Jesus, back to the cross. But Kirk, so far, people call it Mother Nature. They call it climate control. We don't hear anybody really sounding the alarm from the prophets of the Old Testament, nor from the scriptures in the book of Revelation, that these unusual and historic storms are a cause of a nation that is in sin. We're not hearing that.
Well, no. And you know, what we're saying and what we're teaching is the unpopular opinion, you know, and people don't like to hear that God's judging us. You know, that's doesn't float very well in the church today. And, you know, it gets chalked up to this being the fall of man, right? These things happen, you know, floods happen, storms happen, but that's true. But the severity of these things, I mean, to have two back-to-back 1-in-1,000-year floods is unheard of, right? This thing doesn't happen. And, you know, there's so many things that are rampant right now in this country. I mean, abortion is still going. There's new states now that are going into to pro-abortion who've changed stance. You know, they sent it back to the states, said, we'll let the states decide. Well, there's been no stop to the abortion in this country. You know, there's still millions of children that are being aborted. You know, there's so much anti-Semitism going on in this country, and that stinks in the nostrils of God. You know, the replacement theology is so popular in not just America, but the world. You know, it seems as though everybody's coming against Israel, that Israel's the problem and that Israel's to blame. And, you know, everybody's all upset about this Gaza situation, you know, but that's just two things on a small scale. And look what happened this week. They literally covered up the Epstein files. They came out and changed their tune. They said that there is no Epstein list. There is no files. He did commit suicide. It's a done deal. Case closed. Now, that was a big thing in this country. A lot of people were looking for that because this guy had such a prolific history of child trafficking. And we were promised we'd get the list. We'd know who was complicit. Ghislaine Maxwell's still in jail. I mean, if there's no list, what's she in jail for? You know, so right. it's not a coincidence. These floods happen all in the same week. All this stuff is just, it's piling on and it's only getting worse.
Well, when there is sin going on in a country and there's no repentance, God will let it go on for just so long. And then he will start to lay down his judgment. And it would appear that's exactly what is going on. And we, as a nation, need to come back to God. We as a church need to preach the full gospel message. And people that are in churches, listen, don't be a Sunday morning only Christian. Go to your prayer meeting. Begin to pray for our country. Begin to share your faith with our neighbor. Share your faith with the people at your workplace. Because from what everything we're teaching on the last Trump, for not just weeks, but months, now even years. We've been on now for 5 years, is we are coming up to, very close to, the coming of the Lord, where he will remove his church, the true church that's born again, not lukewarm. He said he's going to spit the lukewarm church out of his mouth, but truly following the Lord, he's going to lift you off the earth, and then the judgment comes. We are getting closer and closer to that. Tonight, we're going to be studying what's going to be happening on the earth during that 7-year period. You don't want your worst enemy here. But with these storms that are so unusual, I want tonight, Kirk, to play a video of the amount of water in comparison to what goes over Niagara Falls every day. I want you to hear this video of the kind of water we're talking about that would raise that river 30 feet. Let's listen.
So this is just mind-blowing. Right here, Niagara Falls, 757,000 gallons of water per second going over those falls. That works out to about 45 million gallons a minute, 2.7 billion gallons an hour, or roughly 65 billion gallons of water a day going over the edge. Now, that is an absolutely incredible amount of water, but it is only roughly half the amount of the 120 billion gallons of water that fell on Central Texas this past July 4th. So they say about 12 inches of rain fell in those early morning hours, which led the rivers to do this, to rise about 26 feet in a matter of 45 minutes. That's less than an hour. So when you see the absolute devastation and destruction, and you try to wrap your head around just how much water this is, it is roughly 2 days worth of the water going over Niagara Falls, all falling on Texas in just a matter of hours.
Wow. When you think about the amount of water compared to Niagara Falls, 2 days worth of what goes over Niagara Falls, now you understand the devastation around that riverbank in Texas going, Kirk, I think I heard it was 40 miles, everything on each side of the river, every home, every property was destroyed. Cars were removed, sometimes 2 miles down the road. And those, that camp that was filled with children, they found, I mean, this is so, it's hard to even report this. They found children's clothing in the trees 30 feet above the river. Once the river went back down to normal, that's how high it rose. And this is one of the greatest tragedies having to do with water in the state of Texas ever. Why? What is going on? What is God trying to say to America? Kirk, that's shocking, that video and that brother that did that.
Well, you know, that statistic alone should be enough for people to realize that this isn't normal. right? When have we ever heard of anything like this on this kind of scale? It's unheard of, folks. I mean, we know Nahum teaches us that God is sovereign and God is in control of the weather. He will it says the Lord is slow to anger and great in power and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord has his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. And all we hear is climate change, climate change, climate yep. change. That, like this, folks, wake up. What I think God is doing here is giving an altar call. Just like he did in COVID-19, you know, not just this one event, but the consecutive back-to-back events like this, they're not stopping. The storm, I mean, there's flash flooding every day this week on a major scale.
We are pre-recording today. Today is a Wednesday. You'll hear this on a Saturday night. And there are storms predicted in Washington, D.C., and you'll know this on Saturday if how bad it was, but that's our nation's capital in the middle of summer. Flash flood warnings through Virginia, Baltimore, Philadelphia, and it just keeps coming. And all that happened in Texas, which is really the worst of them all, happened on the nation's birthday. Hello, right. July 4th. Folks, we got to figure this out. We're smarter than this. I'm talking now to Christians that know their Bible, that can look these verses up in 2 Chronicles 7, 13, 14, like we read tonight, like Kirk just read in Nahum chapter 1. We know that God does not allow sin to go on forever. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, this he shall also reap. And, you know, all of this is happening just a few days after God called home one of the greatest evangelists, if not the greatest evangelist of our generation, Brother Jimmy Swaggart. And we brought this out on previous broadcast. There was a man in the Bible who lived longer than any other man. And that man lived to be 969 years old. And he was the grandfather of Noah. And Methuselah was his name. And that name means Methuselah. When he dies, comes the deluge, comes the flood. And Enoch, who was his father, the Bible said he lived for 365 years. But when he was 65 years old, he had a conversion and followed the Lord for the remaining 300 years of his life. But at 65, he had his son Methuselah, and no doubt God through Methuselah showed him that when your son in the future one day will die in that same year, he will judge the world with a flood. And you can do it right in the book of Genesis by the ages of the father, grandfather. Methuselah, not only did he live 969 years, no one in the Bible, no one in history has lived longer. That'll show you how much God puts off the judgment. But he died in the same year of the flood of Noah's day. And Methuselah's name, again, means when he dies will come the flood. He was a prophetic marker. And I don't know, was Brother Jimmy Swaggart the Methuselah of our generation? Could be. Just 3 days after he dies, all these floods are happening. But here's the point I want to make with you tonight. We need to get right with God. We need to fear God, and we need to understand God is not mocked. If you are not living for God tonight, if you are living in sin, if you're addicted to drugs, alcohol, if you're abusing your wife, or you are a gambler and you're addicted to gambling, or you're just a mean hornet, you're just constantly angry, unforgiving, you need to come to the cross tonight. Because we are running out of time. And this government that we are under right now in America It is messed up, folks, on both sides of the aisle. And the only place you can find normalcy tonight, the only place you can find peace, the only place that you can find righteousness is through a relationship with Jesus Christ. If your faith is in anything else, you are going to be gravely disappointed. Jeremiah the prophet said in Jeremiah chapter 7, I believe it's the fifth verse, "Cursed is the man who puts his trust in man." And then two verses later, he said, "Blessed is the man who puts his trust in the Lord." My trust, Kirk's trust tonight, is not in our government, not in our president, not in the economy, not in anything of this world. Our trust is in Jesus tonight. And that's why we can go through the storm of life without fear. We can go through the storm knowing the end and what is going to happen, because we're bringing out to you, and we're going to get into this tonight, the book of Revelation. I've read the last page, and God wins, and man without God loses. Tonight, I want to ask you, what team are you on? Don't tell me, oh, I'm on Trump's team or I'm on the Democrats' side. That doesn't mean anything to God. Are you on Jesus's side? Jesus said, "He who is not for me is against me." Jesus said that if you love this world and the things of this world, the love of the Father is not in me, in you. Come out from among them and be separate. How many more floods? How many more tornadoes? How many more derechos do we need to realize something is not right in our nation tonight? And no man is going to fix this. We've got to go to the cross. Kirk, we're in a heap of problems tonight.
Well, you know, I want to say, you know, we need an awakening, right? And an awakening would mean that the people who are lost have a realization of God, right? And they come to Christ. And we do need that. But what we need so bad is a revival in the church, because this should be a big red blinking flashing billboard to everybody who's born again that these things are not normal and they're increasing. But we're not. We're barely hearing any of the church talk about this. Now, granted, they're saying we need to pray for Texas. We need to pray for the people. You know, you have that every time there's a disaster. But I don't see very many, if at all, who are putting the dots together on how late it is. You know, nobody is reading their word anymore. Nobody's studying. There's prayer meetings. It's like it fell off.
Let me say this. There is a remnant. It's not nobody, but there's precious few. And the word that most people don't want to hear is repentance. And the problem, and I know I'm going to get letters for this and people are going to get angry at me, but the biggest problem today in America is the preacher. Right. And I can say that because I'm one of them. And the preacher, what he preaches behind that sacred desk on Sunday morning is going to matter during the week in the lives of those that have heard that message. And Kirk, I was with a pastor this week. We were out to lunch. He's pastored in Louisiana. He's now pastoring here in Western New York. And I'm not going to use his name, but I said, "Pastor," and he's networked in denomination. He's part of a denomination, and he knows a lot of the pastors and a lot of the churches in our area. And I asked him, I said, "How many preachers do you know in the greater Buffalo area that are preaching the cross and preaching the end times message?" Now, it's going to shock you what he said to me. He said, "I don't know of one."
Wow.
Think about that. And, I heard and I read this the other day in one of Brother Jimmy Swaggart's writings. It might have been in the Expositor Study Bible that he said there are only two things that can hold back the judgment of God. Only two things that can hold back the calamity of God. And Brother Swaggart, and you can see this in his writings, and he preached it, that he believed storms were a sign. Not all the time, but many times a sign that something is wrong in that land, in that community. We see it in the Bible all the way through. We're going to see it tonight in the book of Revelation. And he said this. He said, what will hold back the judgment of God? What will hold back the calamities? He said, if not all the way, it'll lessen it, is two things. Number one, the preaching of the cross. And number two, the preaching of end times.
Amen.
This is what the pastors of churches need to be preaching. And when we talk about the message of the cross, we're talking about preaching the blood that was shed on Calvary for man's justification, that's man's forgiveness, to be declared not guilty before God if he'll repent and turn to Jesus. Number two, his sanctification, that the only way you can be delivered from the bondage of sin, sexual perversion, gambling, alcohol, homosexuality, anger, whatever it is by faith in what Christ did at Calvary. And then thirdly, preaching the cross for the coming resurrection day, the hope of the church, the blessed hope that we are going to be raptured out of here. We're going to receive a glorified body. We're going to go into the kingdom of God. We're going to live there. We're going to, and 7 years after going there, we're coming back to set up the 1,000-year reign of the kingdom on this earth. Pastor, if you're not preaching that, you know what people do? They become lazy. They become prideful. They lose the fear of God. But when they know what's coming, and we're going to give you tonight, it brings the fear of God. And people, man wants to get right with God. He wants to find an altar somewhere because his heart is pricked, convicted of his sin. But if you don't preach the cross, the blood that Jesus shed for man's sins, the resurrection that he defeated death, he defeated Satan, he defeated the powers of darkness. If you don't preach that and you don't preach end times, the people are going to, they're going to rise up and play just like they did at the golden calf when Moses went up on the mountain. The Bible says they worshiped the golden calf. They took their clothes off and they just began to play. They were in idol worship. That's what will happen if you don't preach the right message.
Well, it makes me wonder, you know, because preaching the cross includes three aspects, right? It's Jesus Christ for your salvation, your sanctification, and your soon coming glorification, right? There's three aspects. And it makes me wonder if these people or these churches that aren't preaching the cross, is it they're not preaching all three? Is it they're not preaching one or two or none? You know, that's such a scary idea to think that you have a meeting with this pastor and he doesn't know of any, none, preaching the cross or end times. I mean, what else is there?
What else is there?
This is what the disciples were teaching. This is what Paul was teaching. I mean, it's in the Bible. They thought the Lord was coming then in their time. The book of Thessalonians was written because they thought they missed it. Right, so this isn't an old or a new teaching. This is basic fundamental Christianity 101. You know, I'm almost half tempted to go in a couple of the local churches in my neighborhood and see what they're preaching, because if you're not preaching the cross and you're not preaching the coming of the Lord, what's the message? What are they preaching?
Right, and listen, there is a remnant. Praise God. I was listening to David Jeremiah on this station the other night, and he preaches a very good end times message. I thank God for David Jeremiah. Jimmy Swaggart preached this for 70 years. The judgment was coming. We needed to get right with God. Preached on the rapture of the church. So there's a remnant, but it's become less and less over the last 20 years. We've moved to seeker-sensitive churches, you know, one-hour services on a Sunday morning, and that's it. Church, we've got to come back to that old-fashioned message. And Jeremiah said, show me the ancient paths. Wherein is the good way that I may walk therein? Jeremiah 6:16. I'm not looking for some new tickling ear message. Give me the message that Paul preached. Give me the message that Jeremiah preached.
Laying up my treasures in that home above. trusting, fully trusting in my Savior's love, doing what I can for heaven's holy dove. I'm getting ready to leave this world. I'm getting
tonight to The Last Trump. This is your host, Mike Chory, with Kurt Space. And we want to encourage you to be a part of our upcoming prophecy conference. It's the Jesus on the Third Day End Times Conference. It's coming up August 7th through the 10th. It's going to be taking place right here at Cross River Tabernacle, the home of Joshua Revolution. And we want you, all the pastors, churches, lay people, to come on out and be a part of this 4 days End Times Conference. Pastor Paul Musisi from Uganda, Africa, is going to be with us. This anointed preacher, he runs a ministry in Uganda with over 1,200 orphans, 150 widows. He runs a 10-nation conference. It's a tremendous ministry he has in Uganda, and he's coming to Buffalo, and he'll be one of the keynote speakers at the Jesus on the Third Day Conference. Also joining us will be Joshua Aaron from Israel. There's going to be a Saturday night worship night under the tent. What an amazing moment that will be to have Joshua with us. Also, Doreen Burrett, her and her husband has traveled all over the world, 37 nations, over given out over 800,000 expositor study Bibles, preached to thousands of pastors, her husband and her in crusades. She's coming to be a part of this, going to be teaching the children. She'll also be a keynote speaker. Also joining me, as he does every Saturday night, Kurt Space will be one of the speakers. Myself will be teaching on end times. And we want you to be there. We want you to be a part of it. The Joshua Revolution Band, Steve and Carolyn Drew. It's going to be a tremendous 4 days. It begins Thursday night, August 7th. It goes to Sunday night, August 10th. There's a chicken barbecue on Sunday afternoon. And we understand people go to church in different places on Sunday morning, but come on out for the Thursday night, all day Friday and Saturday sessions. And then you can rejoin us on Sunday for the barbecue chicken dinner and the Sunday night closing service. Tickets are completely free of charge. The chicken barbecue, there is a price for that meal, and you can sign up for your free tickets and that chicken dinner by going to joshuarevolution.org. That's all you need to do. joshuarevolution.org, and you can register online. If you don't know how to do the online stuff, call Joshua Revolution at 1-888-444-2920 in the local area, 716-229-8000. It's Jesus on the third day. It's going to be amazing, and we're going to be looking for you. All right, we're back here, and I want to go right into Revelation 19. Kirk, there's so much going on. For the last 2 weeks, we haven't got to this text, but we're going to do it. We are in the beginning of, let's say not the beginning, but the middle of the seven trumpet judgments. Now, understand, if you've been with us, this is the seven-year period called the tribulation. The first 3.5 years of this seven-year period is known as the beginning of sorrows. The last 3.5 years is known as the great tribulation. We are entering now into that period of 3.5 years where it gets so bad on the earth that people are, they just are hiding from God, basically. And we're going to look at the three woes. And these three woes, as they're called, are the fifth, the sixth, and the seventh trumpet judgment. Now, the church, we believe, is gone. But there are many people being saved during this seven-year period. Many people, no doubt, will be saved right after the church is missing. People are gone, and they'll realize they've been left. And there will be many that will come to the Lord, but they're going to go through great tribulation. Now, I want to read. Let's read starting in Revelation chapter 9. And, Kirk, I'm going to have you read the first four verses.
Okay. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads.
All right. Now, when we look at this, and what verse did you stop at?
Verse 4 I stopped on.
All right. So when we see in this chapter, like the previous chapter, is we are now getting into this heart of the great tribulation, and we're going to see great judgment as we keep moving through the book of Revelation. In this ninth chapter, the fifth and sixth trumpets sound, and with every trumpet blast, there is an unleashing of judgment on the earth. On the earth that has rejected God, rejected his son. And this particular fifth angel sounds the trumpet blast, and this angel represents the first of the three woes. And this is the beginning, really, of hell on earth. I don't know how else to say it. The star that falls to the earth is believed to be Satan himself. How do we know this? Because the pronoun him is used as a description. I saw a star from heaven fall unto the earth, and to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. And it says that his name is Apollyon, which means destroyer. So the star, no doubt, is Satan. Or at least one of the great fallen angels who functions under Satan's command. And the bottomless pit is located, they believe, in the heart of the earth. I've heard it, Kirk. They believe that the bottomless pit could be even somewhere in the vicinity of where Adam and Eve first sinned against God. But again, this is in the heart of the earth. And Satan is given the key to this bottomless pit, and he's given it to by the Lord. God, again, as we said early in the broadcast, either causes things to happen or he allows them to happen. He's totally in control. And Kirk, what we see coming out of this bottomless pit is really, really going to be evil for the world.
Well, I mean, does a demon locust with the power of a scorpion sting sound pleasant to any of you guys listening? Like, this is nuts, like crazy when you think about this. Like, there's literally a pit that's going to open, and demon locusts are going to fly out, and they're tasked to kill anybody who doesn't have the mark in their forehead, you know, the seal of the Lord. So, and this, I think as we go on here, this goes on for, I believe, 5 months straight. You know, men will be begging for death and it won't come. Like, this is one of the most horrific of the judgments here that's coming, because before it was, you know, it was calamity, earthquakes and meteors falling. But this now we're putting demons in the mix, and there's a whole new player on the field.
It really is. And in the first thing that I want the listener to know tonight is hell is a real place. It really exists. And now here in the middle of the 7-year tribulation, the bottomless pit that leads to hell is opened. And with the use of the word, and you can see it in verse 2, as the smoke of a great furnace. So we know that there is fire represented here, fire present. And hell itself actually contains the lake of fire. The Bible teaches us this. The smoke from the furnace will cause the day to be as night, and it will greatly pollute the air. I mean, think about this. It's in this judgment, God is basically giving the key to Satan to open up the door of hell. And we see here in verse 3 that what came out of it was smoke. There came out of the smoke, I should say, locusts upon the earth. And these demon locusts are given power, as a scorpion of the earth had power. So these are literal spirit beings that are loose during the Great Tribulation. And we're not trying to scare people, Kirk. I'm just giving them the word of God. This is in the Bible. The scripture tells us that Satan, who was once Lucifer, he led a rebellion, and 1/3 of the angels threw in their lot with him, and they fell from heaven. We see this in Revelation 12:4. We learn more about Lucifer in Isaiah 14:12-15 and Ezekiel 28:11-19. That describes the fall of Lucifer, this angel who disobeyed God. Why? Because of pride. He wanted to be as God. And these demon locusts, which are a part of his kingdom of darkness, are given the same power as a normal locust to sting and cause pain in their victims. But these are not small things. This is a very large demon locust. This is right out of a horror film, Kirk.
Well, yeah, and you know, we see it continually here. There's other things that come out of the pit, and you know, soon, 3 chapters from now, Satan is going to be cast out of heaven, and then he's going to be on the earth. You know, so this is kind of like an introduction to the supernatural demonic realm coming into our existence and our reality. You know, and you hear a lot of testimonies and stories of people today who had encounters with demons, and I've had them myself, you know, coming from the past in history. I had, and they're not pleasant by any means. It is not a fun scenario. You know, and in the very next verse 5, he says, "And to let them it was given that they should not kill them, but they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he strikes a man." Like,
wow.
It's it's torture. I mean, this is this is a torturing. And there, people, he says, they're going to seek death and shall not find it. Like, folks, this, do you understand? Like, this is torment. This, you know, it's not a quick death, quick judgment. This goes on for 5 months. Like, it's horrific.
Well, there's a lot of people tonight that, you know, they don't really believe hell is real. They don't really believe in demon spirits. They don't really believe there is a devil. Listen, folks, during the Great Tribulation, all that's going to be wiped away. They're going to see these things and they're going to know there truly is a devil. There truly is hell, a place called hell, and there is demon spirits. And in this sixth verse that you were relating to here in Revelation number 9, chapter 9, it says, in those days shall men seek death, and they shall not find it. They shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. The pain is going to be so great that men will wish that they were dead. And they will even try to end their own life, but be unable to fulfill that desire. This is a time that you don't want to be on the earth. God loves you. Jesus died for you. And he's trying to protect you from this. He never created hell for mankind. He created it for Satan and the demons. And the Bible is warning us what's coming. Let's go on to verse 7 and 8.
Okay. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads were as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, you know, every indication is that these locusts are fallen evil spirits, maybe the same spirits that Jesus preached to in hell. We see that in 1 Peter 3:19. The spirits that have been locked up in the bottomless pit are believed to be the same spirits that cohabited with women, as we read, is that, what is it, Genesis 7 or Genesis 6, when the women were attempting to bring in the race of giants into the world. I mean, that's a whole nother teaching. But these spirits are real, folks, and they're locked in the bottomless pit, and these demon spirits that are going to come out as locusts are going to be released. Now, here is the good news, if there is any good news, and this is good news. They're not going to be able to sting those 144,000 Jews that have the seal of God in their foreheads. You can see this in verse 4. So God is going to supernaturally protect those Christian Jews. And really, I believe this extends to all living Christians on the earth from this particular woe. They will be protected. But the world that doesn't know God, the world that is not following Jesus, you're going to be susceptible to this locust not only coming on you, but biting you with a pain that is so great that it'll make you want to die. Let's go on to verses 9 through 11, Kirk.
Okay. And they had breastplates, as it were breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue his name is Apollyon.
All right, so here it is. I mean, it's safe to say that these beings are fearsome. When God created man and he gave Adam dominion over the earth, this made Satan furious. Every indication is that he had once claimed the earth and even the throne of God from what we read in Isaiah 14. So he sets about to destroy men. And he wants to, the Bible says, kill, steal, and destroy you. But God holds that back. I mean, I tell our church all the time, if Satan could kill you, you'd already be dead. but God is the one who gives the devil just so much latitude. You could say it this way, the devil's on a leash, and the Lord can pull that leash back at any time. But Kirk, during this time in the Great Tribulation, he is loosed on the earth. This is a very scary time for people who don't know God.
Well, yeah, and you know, I want to acknowledge this too, because some people might say, well, why would God create some kind of thing like that that's described here? And the reality is he didn't, you know, and Brother Swaggart's notes cover it here on verse 8. I wanted to say, he says they were no doubt originally created by God to perform a particular function of praise and worship, even as the living creatures, but they had suffered this fate due to rebellion against God. So we don't really know the origination of demon spirits, right? There's a whole lot of mixed theories here, but these things became what they are because of their rebellion against God. We don't know what transpired in that, but when Lucifer threw in his fist in the air against God and took a third of the angels with him, I mean, these things were a result of that. And, you know, God ends up using them here in the tribulation as a judgment on man, you know, for rejecting his son and, you know, just no repentance. It's crazy.
All of this is due to the earth rejecting God and going in their own way. And the time of God's judgment has come, and he is pouring it out like he predicted he would. All right, now, those demon locusts are just one of the three woes, as the Bible calls them. And let's go to the second woe. We're going to go to verse 12, and let's read on.
One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay the third part of man. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000. And I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horse in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire, and a jacinth, and brimstone. And the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. By these three was the third part of men killed, by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails were like unto serpents and had heads, and with them they do hurt. And for the rest of men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts.
Well, when you read these words from the ninth chapter, you can see, number one, the judgments are getting worse, but the people still will not turn to God. It is a world that is bent on being stubborn and prideful, and they're, all these judgments you would think would make them turn to God, but man's heart gets harder and harder. And so when this sixth angel sounds, the second woe is released, and the Bible tells us there are four angels, which these are demonic beings, folks, that are released. And the mention of the Euphrates, Kirk, is the area where the judgment will begin. This is right where the original sin of Adam and Eve failed God. It's interesting that the river Euphrates, where the four angels have been bound, because it's believed that's the same place of the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 2. So we're seeing here God's dealing with original sin, and he's dealing with the sins of mankind that has gone on for 6,000 years, and the earth right now is experiencing the demonic world like it is never before. We're talking 200 million demon horsemen. That's what's explained here. This will be invisible, most likely, to the naked eye of man, but that's what's being released on the earth. There could quite possibly, I mean, it's saying a third part of men will be killed by the fire, the smoke, by the brimstone that comes out of the pit, and what's issued out of the mouth of these demon locusts. Folks, does this seem like a time that you want to be living here on planet Earth? My goodness, what we have read tonight in this just short time we've been with you should say to you, I need God. I need Jesus Christ. I need to turn from my sin because I do not want to be here. And you say, what makes this generation the generation that's going to see all this? Israel. They are back in the land. And when God said, when the nation of Israel is reborn, that generation that sees that will not pass away before the coming of the Son of Man. This is not a far way off. We are the generation to see and experience the judgment of God. But if you give your life to Jesus Christ, make him the Lord of your life, turn from your sin, you don't have to be here for it. Kirk, the last word.
I mean, this, you know, this is hard to fathom, right? And a third again here of man on the earth, right? So that's going to be over 1 billion people, because we already lost a quarter in the four horsemen of the apocalypse in the very beginning. So now we lose another third. I mean, this is billions and billions of people that are going to die here by 200 million demon horsemen. I mean, I don't even want to know how CNN or Fox News would report this. You know, it's just, this is something our brains can't comprehend. And the one thing I want to say, that what the night before I got saved, I put it off for a month, but I had a dream and I was in the tribulation, right? This is the dream the Lord gave me. And I knew it was the tribulation. And what I saw was pits and cracks opening up in the earth. And I was at a place, a town probably 15 minutes from where I live now, but there were these cracks and these pits opening up in the earth. And there was smoke coming out and there was fire coming out. And these demonic beings and creatures were coming out of the pits and murdering people. And people were running for their life. And I ran and hid inside of an office building to get away from these things. And I didn't know anything about the book of Revelation, right? I just knew in the dream I'd studied the gospel enough that this was the tribulation that I was in. Long story short, it scared me to death and I got saved the very next day. But then I start studying the book of Revelation and I see, I believe that the Lord gave me a vision of what it's going to look like. And I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy of how bad it is and what's coming, folks. I mean, don't take any chances, folks. It's not worth it.
And we're not watering it down. We're giving it to you as it is written. And we're warning you tonight, get in the ark of God. Jesus Christ loves you and he wants to save you tonight and forgive you of your sins. But the key, you must repent and put your faith in Jesus. I'm going to give you that opportunity tonight. And Kirk's going to help you as we pray with you, wherever you may be in Canada, America. Tonight's your night. Get in the ark and do not have to fear the judgment because you have come to Jesus. Say this prayer with us. It's not a prayer that will save you. It's the sincerity of your heart. With every word that you pray right now, you're making your commitment to God. Just pray with us right now and say these words out loud. Dear Heavenly Father.
Dear Heavenly Father.
I come to you in Jesus' name.
I come to you in Jesus' name.
And Lord, I fear you.
And Lord, I fear you.
And I do not want to face this judgment.
And I do not want to face this judgment.
And so right now, I want to repent.
And so right now, I want to repent.
Lord, I'm sorry for the things that I've done.
Lord, I'm sorry for the things that I've done.
And the way that I have lived.
And the way that I have lived.
And I ask that you would forgive me tonight.
And I ask that you would forgive me tonight.
And I turn my life over to your Son, Jesus Christ.
and I turn my life over to your Son, Jesus Christ.
I believe that he died on the cross for my sins.
I believe that he died on the cross for my sins.
And 3 days later, he rose from the dead and he's alive.
And 3 days later, he rose from the cross and he is alive.
Rose from the dead and he's alive. Amen. And right now.
And right now.
I ask you, Jesus.
I ask you, Jesus.
To come into my heart.
To come into my heart.
And be my personal Lord and Savior.
And be my personal Lord and Savior.
And from this moment forward.
And from this moment forward.
I commit myself to live for you.
I commit myself to live for you.
And when my life is over, I ask you for a home in heaven.
And when my life is over, I ask you for a home in heaven.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen and amen.
Amen.
Listen, if you just prayed with me and Kirk tonight, and you meant it, Jesus came into your heart. Don't let the devil lie to you. Tomorrow, go to church and tell the pastor that you were listening to Last Trump and you gave your heart to Jesus. Maybe you came back to the Lord. I want to do this for everyone who's prayed with us. If you will call us tonight, we will send you a copy of the Expositor's New Testament, this commentary that will help you to learn the Word of God. And most importantly, it is the King James Bible. It is the Word of God. We'll send it to you postage paid, free of charge, no matter where you live. We'll get it to you, but you got to call us tonight. Operators are waiting in the greater Buffalo area. Call 716-229-8000. That's 716-229-8000. Up in Canada, 1-888-4, I'll get it, 1-888-444-2920. Go to your phone now. We're out of time. We love you. God bless you. Coming up next, Cross-Eyed Radio.
You have been listening to The Last Trump, a radio talk show sponsored by Joshua Revolution. If The Last Trump has been a blessing to you, please let us know by sending a testimony on how the program has helped you. If you would like to support The Last Trump financially, you can send financial gifts to Joshua Revolution, P.O. Box 923, Grand Island, New York, 14072, or go to our website at joshuarevolution.org. We thank you for your help and prayers, and remember to tune in next week at 8:30 p.m. for The Last Trump, a study on end times prophecy.